Welcome to Minute 157 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast, where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again this week is Hugh Keane from the National Treasure Minute. Welcome back to the show, Hugh.
Hi, how's it going?
All right. Looking forward to continuing our conversation about buses and passengers on buses, or whether there's room on a bus or not. Who knows?
Yep.
We'll have to wait and see what happens today. Minute 157 begins with Roger and Mac reaching into their pockets and goes all the way till we see a serene shot of a bicycle rider going down the street. So, as we were discussing yesterday, Roger and Mac are anxiously trying to get on a bus to Zurich, and two Gestapo men stop, or the secret police, stop them and ask them for their identifications. So, this minute begins with the two of them actually reaching into their pockets to look for their identifications, which
yes.
It's great that they're able to show us this, because we've seen a lot of scenes throughout the course of the movie dealing with the forgeries, dealing with the fact that everyone has forged papers. So this is just another example of how great a job was done in order to create these fake papers for every one of these prisoners. I mean, if you look at it from the movie perspective, so, you know, Donald Pleasance, Blythe, taking care of all that. But this is based on fact of how they actually really created documents for all of the 76 prisoners for all the 250 that were supposed to escape, but the 76 that actually made it out.
Yeah.
And pretty much everything is supposedly as authentic as possible. And this scene is further proof of the fact of how easy it was for the forgers to create things that would make it more plausible for these characters to move around Germany and eventually, you know, try to find their way home.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched, there's a documentary on YouTube about the real escape. And I think one of the guys who was there, he said it was like 9 months work just for the documents.
Yeah.
And so it was like, when they found out the tunnel was short, they were like, we can't wait another 9 months to do like, do it again and redate the documents.
Right. I mean, as you know, in the movie they mentioned that in passing, that everything's dated for today, and that's it.
Yeah.
They didn't mention the fact that it would take them 9 months to redate everything.
Yeah.
So they give him their documents, and this Gestapo man, who, again, we don't know his real name because he's not credited in this movie.
Oh, he's not even credited?
Nope. He's not credited.
Oh, my.
So we don't know his real name or his character's name. And he looks at their documents, passports, and notices that they're supposed to be French. So he starts speaking to them and says, you're French. And they respond, yes. And again, they're talking in German at this point. And when he opens up the passport, you can see the picture of Richard Attenborough in it, which is great.
Oh, really?
Yes. Again, the detail here is unbelievable. At this point, he actually switches and says, so, are you merchants? So Roger then responds in French. He says, but yes, do you speak French?
Yeah, and I did hear that.
And so the German said, well, I speak a little bit of French. And then Roger says to him, which is a really funny thing for him to say, he says, your accent is very good.
Yep.
Which shows that he's able to actually try to play it up even more, that he knows perfect French.
Yeah.
And then the German then spits off a whole line of, you know, in French,
mm-hmm.
where he basically says, I studied it in high school.
Okay.
That's his explanation as to how well he knows French. And at this point, he actually catches Roger and Mac off guard, because neither one of them has any clue what he just said.
Oh, okay.
You know, absolutely no clue. They both look very dumbfounded. You can see the look on their faces. Mm-hmm. They're not really sure what he's saying. And then he says to him, all right, well, very well, go. We basically get the impression that he's able to, you know, that they're able to make it through. And that they pass themselves off as French merchants quite well.
Yep.
And when he opens up the passport at McDonald, you can also see the picture of Gordon Jackson on there. So, again, it shows the detail.
Yeah.
And I love the way the second German guy is just standing there, just looking official. You know, not doing anything else. He doesn't say anything.
He's looking intimidating.
He's looking. Yes. Completely. The whole way. At this point, the two of them are given their passports back, which is an important thing to pay attention to. that they both receive their passports.
Yep.
And then they start going back up to, they start getting onto the bus. And then the German says, au revoir, monsieur. Then he says, au revoir to Mac. And then he stops and says, good luck. And then Mac turns to him and says, thank you.
Yeah.
Which, at this point, you know, the cat is out of the bag. Yeah. Which is quite ironic that they give this particular folly to Mac because of the fact that Mac was the one who was chiding Haynes a few weeks back about the fact that he was able that he went out of character too quickly.
Yep.
So I like the fact that they give it to him. You know, it's as if they were to give it to Haynes, where we would see it again. You know, that he's making the same mistake that he made before. This is someone who chided someone else for making the mistake and makes the mistake.
Yep.
Himself. Now, do you think the Gestapo guy was very suspicious, or was he just doing it? Was just shot in the dark. What do you think?
I mean, I thought about this scene and I was like, I don't know how you could see two grown men like walking to a bus together, like when they're probably on alert to look out for these guys already. And it's like, I don't know how you see two grown men walking to a bus together, like they're traveling together, and not be suspicious that they're like escaping prisoners.
The question is, how far away are they from Zagin at this point? You know, if they're hundreds of miles away,
I guess that's true. But
you know, are they? It's not as if they're right outside of the camp. If they're right outside of the camp, then I would say, okay, for sure, there's no reason why the Gestapo wouldn't be suspicious. You know, I think it just goes to show that everyone was put on alert, you know, around the entire Reich at the time about the fact that there were 76 prisoners that escaped, and you need to keep a lookout for them and try to catch them.
Now that I'm thinking about how you pointed out they were sort of dumbfounded by his second sentence of French, I think that might have been what tipped him off to, like, try that, like, to see if they actually were French, to see if they could stay in character, because I hadn't noticed that. Like, I hadn't thought about them being silent after he had said something in French as, like, being a red flag. But now that I'm looking at them in it, it's pretty clear that they don't know what to do.
Right, but they don't give us a shot of the German seeing them off guard at the point. The one person that the other Gestapo guy who's, you know, watching them intimidatingly the whole way, it's possible that he would have noticed, but he doesn't say anything. He doesn't motion to the other guy or anything like that. Yeah. It's not like he gives him a tap on the shoulder and says, I think there's something going on here.
Yeah.
Because apparently he doesn't understand French and doesn't know what's being said. But I still think it's more of a shot in the dark. I think he was really going to let them he was going to let them go.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't trying to stop them at this point. And then he just said, all right, you know what, I'll just say good luck and see what happened. Apparently, it panned out for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think either way would be realistic. Like, the way he says it doesn't really give away that he's... Like, the way he says it is he is doing more of a guess, where he's like, yeah, I'm going to see if this works. That's sort of exactly the impression I get from the way he pronounces it.
But. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. But I like the fact that Mac has a double take.
Yes,
he says thank you. He like looks and then looks back, and basically it dawns on him that he just made the biggest mistake of his life.
Yeah.
And it's nice that what he does is he basically kicks the guy and pushes him at the same time.
I have a note about the soundtrack at this point, because like this whole scene, there hasn't been any music because they're sort of building the tension. But when he hits this guy, they start the music and there's a big like timpani hit or something. They hit some sort of drum. And when I first was watching it, it sounded like a gunshot, like the way the noise they make.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, I'm pretty sure no one's shooting here, but, I think it's just the score.
Yeah, I mean, the score is great, though, the way that they do it, because they really adds to the tempo goes up at this point, and,
yes,
you know, it adds to the suspense of watching everything happening. And at this point, both Mac and Roger quickly get off the bus and start running away in the further direction. Now, when the Gestapo guy stands up and screams to them to stop, okay, first of all, you can hear the music changes at this point also. And he basically says, stop or I'll shoot. That's what he screams out.
Okay.
And did you notice that he's still holding a passport in his hand? He gave the two of them back the passport. Yes,
I knew. I subconsciously noticed there was something in his hand, but I never looked close enough to see what it was.
Yeah. So, I mean, we mentioned earlier that he gave them both back their passports, but he still here has a passport in his hand.
You're right. That doesn't make any sense.
Nope, makes no sense whatsoever. And then we see people hanging out of the bus, taking a look at the action of what's going on.
Yeah.
And we also can see a Hitler Youth kid.
Yeah, I noticed him too.
He turns the corner and then notices something's going on, and he starts running towards the bus. I mean, at this point, a staff car is showing up with a bunch of Germans in it. You have two soldiers hanging on the door and four on the inside. So it's just very interesting. And at this point, the staff car stops, and the German and the Gestapo says to the German officer that comes out, he says, two of the camp have fled. They're English. He realizes that they are talking about escapees from the camp. This is something that everybody knows about. Now, what this tells me is that Roger's plan at the beginning really worked, because everyone is on alert all around Germany. Doesn't matter where you are, how far away you are, they're on alert that there are escape prisoners running around German-occupied territory. And it says a lot about the fact that you have these Gestapo and these officers. Like, the Gestapo guy says, these are the two from the camp. He doesn't even have to say which camp, meaning the officer the SS officer that's coming out of the car is aware of the fact, they've had discussions about this. They know that they're on the lookout for these prisoners. And at this point, we actually get a great shot. And it back to what you said yesterday, this bus is packed at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
It's even more packed than it was yesterday when we saw it barely. But here you can really see it. So I think that's great. At this point, we get the shot changes, and we see a long corridor of a road. And we see Roger and Mac running down the street, trying to find some way in order to save themselves. And, both of them have dropped their bags. They're no longer running with their bags. They're whatever bags they had yesterday, they had with them up until now. Who knows what they had in the bags? Their passports were in their jackets. So I'm curious what was in their bags. Maybe their rations or whatever it was that they needed, but they don't have those anymore. And they run down the street, and they actually pass a horse and buggy, which I think it would have startled the horse that two people are running so close by, but it doesn't. And then we get another shot looking back at the Gestapo guy telling the SS officers, what they need to do. And they take off in the direction of trying to find Roger and Mac. At this point, actually, does he give him their bag? He gives him something. Wow. I don't think I noticed that. He hands them, I think, the bag that Mac dropped.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay, that's very interesting. Because I guess the Gestapo guy picked it up when it fell down. Wow. Okay. And at this point, he goes and tells people to get back on the bus. Everything is okay.
Yep.
There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here. We get to see this Hitler Youth kid standing there. Those are really short shorts. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That does not look comfortable at all. Even if we're talking August, that's really not necessarily. And if you look, most of the men that are shown in this scene, they're all older men.
Mm-hmm.
Which you'd think that Roger and Mac would have stood out because they're men in their 30s.
Yeah.
And all of the rest of these men are at least in their 50s, if not above.
Yeah.
So I found that a little interesting. Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
About the scene or the cut where they do the pan and they're running around the corner of the building and they pass the horse and buggy. Once they get around the corner, that part of the street looks like the part of the street from the European city in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. if you've ever seen that musical with Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, wow. You're right.
It looks like...
Because you can see, like, the castle in the background and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it...
Oh, that's what it looks like.
It looks like the shops where the toy maker is, like, there on the right. But I don't know. There's no way they use the same set, I don't think. But or the same town. But it just looked pretty similar. I'm sure that was interesting.
Wow. That's actually... it is possible.
Yeah. So
interesting.
That was one thing. The other thing. I wrote this, like, just this section of the movie after when they're trying to escape after they've gotten out of the camp reminds me a lot of Les Mis, in terms of emotion, because it's sort of like we're happy to see them free, but at the same time, we know everything's going to end up sad.
Right. That's true.
And so it's like when you watch Les Mis, it's a really beautiful musical, but it's really not happy. You know, like everything just ends up bad.
Right. But I mean, Les Mis has a great theme, you know, the whole idea of redemption and, you know, being able to make up for your past crimes.
But I think it's also interesting, and it's something I think in a future minute, I talk about Richard Attenborough and A Bridge Too Far, and A Bridge Too Far has the same type of thing where it's like war plans that don't work, or like war plans that don't work out how they were planned to.
That could be problematic.
That's just the feeling I get from the last, I guess the fifth act of the movie, last act.
Right. And then we get one final shot of this minute where we get to see a very serene and calm street, which is very funny, because here we have, you know, the two of them running, and they're running down the street, and there's a lot of commotion and stuff like that. And then we get this, like, a second, or maybe 2 seconds of a street with someone riding a bicycle, and it looks very calm and serene.
Yeah.
You know, maybe tomorrow that'll actually change a little bit. Who knows?
Possible.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
You can find me at hughkeen.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at Q_R3K. And if you need any graphic design work, I am open for commissions.
Of course. All right. So basically, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to the show. You can send us an email at thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And our Twitter account is greatescapemxm. So, until tomorrow, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!